Blog Talk Radio.
Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram, and this is Testify.
I think that there's a time in your life when you realize that whatever it is that is eating you, whatever it is that you're running from, whatever it is that you're afraid of, you just have to stop, take a deep breath, turn around, and face it. Face it. Stick your arms out as wide as you can and embrace it. Hold on real tight. You see, the tighter you hold on to it, the smaller it gets. And you just embrace it and embrace it. Until you find yourself embracing yourself, then you can move on with peace of mind and all that stuff. Just leave it behind. Sometimes you won't understand why life is the way it is. Things don't always go the way you plan them. But I believe God and time are synonymous. And through time, God reveals all things. You gotta be. Testify. When I look back on my life, I go crazy when I think of the danger I put myself in. But amazing grace always carried me to safety, knowing that I go back to the same place again and again. Lord, no one could ever love me the way that you do. In spirit, mind, and body, I surrender myself daily to you. Oh, and I just want to testify. I got to testify. Testify, oh, amazing grace saved my life. So sweet the journey when you learn to love yourself, accept yourself, forgive yourself, believe in yourself, be yourself, yeah. With amazing grace as your constant friend. Say, I am free of anger, I am free of fear, and my mind is at ease. I don't regret a single yesterday, because yesterday made me who I am today.
Tell you, my sister told her story. Ooh, it was juicy and delicious, thought provoking. Yet, I came away with one thing for sure and two things for certain. Monica reminded us just how important it is to be grateful, family. She reminded us that gratitude is the highest form of prayer, it's the highest form of love on the planet, it's just to say, thank you. Thank you, God. And so as we enter into the presence, I remind us that this is, I call it, Love Our Breath Month. Honor the breath. You know, this is where the love, mother's milk, I often think about my daughter. She got stuck on the elevator. The elevator stopped in Nordstrom's out in North Carolina. She was in the elevators with the baby, and maybe about a good hour. And so we were talking. She said, so grateful that I got everything I need to feed my baby right now. She was grateful that she had the breast to nurture the baby and feed the baby while she waited for the fire department to come get them out the elevator. And all I could do was just say, thank you, God. The baby was calm and she was calm. And I just thought, wow. It's so intricate how mother's milk is right at the breastplate of the heart. And so as you nurture the baby, you nurture the baby with love. I'm so excited how God does what God does. So again, if you didn't get a chance to hear Monica's story yesterday, you might want to go to the replay and hear her story all the way through. It was a powerful story of love. It was a powerful story of how she overcame it, stood her ground on what she wanted with her own body. And so again, the Love Journey thanks Monica for sharing her story and telling her truth out loud. I thought we was going to be through in enough time to hear Carla LeBeau tell her story yesterday on the Female Solution with Mama Joy. I didn't get a chance to hear it, but I know she did a phenomenal job sending lots of love into Carla LeBeau and her book, Mama Should Have Told You. All right, family, we're going to go in and invite the presence. As we enter into the presence of love, and as we begin by becoming very conscious of that inner space, recognizing that there is only one power and one presence. And on this line, we recognize it as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. I want you to be very conscious about the breath. You see, sometimes we forget to breathe, family. Sometimes we forget to breathe, family. And I want you to breathe. By taking in a deep breath, breathing in through the nose, holding it, point of vibration. Holding it to the count of eight. And then I want you to release the breath. So right now, family, I want you to be still and to know that I am God together. And we feel, know that I am God. I want you to breathe. And to me. And together, be still and know that I am God. Breathe. Amen. And as I invite you into the energy of forgiveness, as we get closer and closer to the end of the year, and as we begin on this day to recognize it as the new day, new beginning, to create, I want you to come in to the space of forgiveness and realize how important it is to let go, to release. I'm going to tell you, anger and unforgiveness is so powerful, you can see it in the way people hold their body. You can see it in the stiffness of people's body. I mean, I pray that you release what you've been holding on for too long. You can see it in the joints of people and how they move. I come today to ask you to let go. Just let it go. Let it go.
Day one, a prayer of forgiveness. Today, I forgive myself. Precious and beloved God, my source and my creator, today I ask for and open myself to receive the strength, courage, and compassion required to forgive myself. I forgive myself for all perceived sins, faults, mistakes, and failings. I forgive myself for every thought, belief, behavior, perception, and emotion that I have told myself is bad, wrong, unjust, unloving, and displeasing to you, God. I forgive myself for every hurt, judgment, condemnation, unkind or unloving thought, belief, and perception I have held about myself or against myself. I forgive myself for any behaviors, habits, or actions motivated by unforgiveness or the unwillingness to forgive myself. I forgive myself with compassion and love. I ask for, accept, and claim God's forgiveness today, believing and knowing that because I have asked, I have received. I am so grateful. I let it be, and so it is. Today, I forgive myself.
Divine Mother, Father, God, I come today, God, that you may have your way. I come today, God, to ask that every word of my mouth, every meditation of my heart, and that my soul will come, that I will speak in the name of you, Holy Spirit. That every word that is uttered in this prayer, God, will be your word. I ask you to give me a clean heart right now, God, and renew the right spirit in me right now, God. Come right now, God, and release in me anything that is no longer serving a higher purpose in us, God. I'm asking you to release insecurities, come Holy Spirit. I'm asking you to release doubt, come Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to release lack and struggle, God, as it is released into the light of love right now, God. I ask you to release it in us. Come, Holy Spirit, and release in us anything right now, God. Any behavior, God. Any patterns, God. And any information that is lodged into the cells, into the muscle fibers, and then into the organs of our body, God, I ask you to be thou removed it right now. Come, Holy Spirit, and let your presence manifest through every cell. Come on, Holy Spirit, and let there be light. Let your presence manifest in every cell, every muscle fiber, every organ in our body. Come, Holy Spirit, and bring forth a fresh anointing upon us. Oh, come Holy Spirit, and let Wednesday be watch you wow us Wednesday, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to bless our finances. Come on, Holy Spirit, open up your doors, your windows, your gates, and your heaven, and pour out a financial blessing, God, that it will woo our minds, that it will wow our minds, God. Come, Holy Spirit. And I'm asking you to come, Holy Spirit, and bring forth an overflow, God. Oh, an overflow like no other. Come, Holy Spirit, and let that be light. I'm asking for you to bring forth love right now, God. I'm asking for your peace right now, God. Peace that, oh, surpasses our own understanding, God. Oh, Holy Spirit. I'm asking you to bless the wound. Oh, come, Holy Spirit. And bless every wound that we're operating from, God. The people are operating from their pain, Holy Spirit. Let it be released right now, God. Oh, I'm asking you to bring forth and healing in the planet, God. I'm asking you to rain down your love in the planet, God. I'm asking you to speak to somebody's mind today, God. I'm asking you to come and speak to somebody's heart, God. I'm asking you to remove all of myself and let you come forth in the overflow, God. Oh, Father God, let there be none of me and all of you, Holy Spirit. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, as I surrender right now. Surrender to the presence of you that is me, as me, all around me, God. I ask these things in the mighty, matchless name of your love, God. I claim it in the name, nature, and consciousness of all that you are in us, as is all around us, God. Come, Holy Spirit, and send your angels out to go before us today, God. That this day may be filled with love, peace, ease, and elegance, God. Come, Holy Spirit, and let there be light. There be light. Let there be peace, God. Let there be that all that you are. I thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I thank you. I thank you in the name of love. Thank you, God. And so it is. Whew. I just love can't nobody do you like. Jesus, can nobody do you like God can? And I'm just so grateful this morning, Father God. Just one grateful somebody. Thank you.
Comes the time in every believer's life. Trials are going to come, but God said, I will not leave you comfortless. So be encouraged.
Lord, I will lay in priest that trouble me. Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Won't God do it? Won't God do it? I'm still taken back by my sister's testimony. No matter how many times I hear her testimony, I'm just taken back about God's love. Again, I want to thank Monica for her great testimony yesterday. It was so beautiful to hear her tell her truth out loud. If you haven't had an opportunity to hear it, you don't want to miss that. You might want to go back and hear yesterday's testimony. I love how she surmised the last time by just being grateful. You know, sometimes we forget to be grateful. We tuned into the Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram, and that was Byron Cage, My Shield. Yes, God will be our shield. He will be our glory in the time when we least respect. God is. Oh, there is. Today's science of the mind reads spiritual artistry. See, golden days, fruitful of golden deeds, with joy and love triumphing. That's John Milton. He said an artist may be taught technique. You see, artists may be taught techniques. He may learn mechanical methods. He can be shown how to set up a canvas, how to draw an outline. He can even be taught perspective and how to mix colors. But even the greatest masters cannot teach an artist how to feel. Woo! Even the greatest artist cannot teach an artist how to feel. Feelings must flow up from within, or there will be no beauty on the canvas. something that he cannot talk, something that must come from his own inward feeling as he reaches out toward the essence of beauty. You see, there's an artistry in spiritual mind healing, a feeling, a sentiment, a spiritual emotion. No one can give this to us but ourselves. No merely superficial viewpoint, no mere philosophy of life, no mere logic or reason can do this for one. There's an inward witness in everyone that alone can do this. The spirit itself must bear witness to the fact. The mind must swing between meditation, conscious communion with the spirit in action. It must swing between realization and statement, between feeling and words, between meaning, which is the interior awareness, and thoughts, which are tools of this awareness. The words, the thoughts, the statements used in a treatment give form to feeling, while the conscious intention for which these statements are made gives direction to the treatment in this way. Feeling is caught in form, while words through definition, intention, specialize this feeling for concrete purposes. You see, this is what meant by letting the spirit bear witness to the words, while the words give direction to the law. This is in a book called How to Use the Science of the Mind, written in 1948 on page 43 and 44. The affirmation says, there now opens up before me a world of new ideas, new thoughts, new people, and new situations. Come on, Holy Spirit, there opens up before me a world of new ideas, new thoughts, new people, and new situations. Just breathe. Just breathe. Sometimes when I just take a breath, get into the feelings of who I am, I just give thanks. I give thanks. We live a very temporal experience on the planet. And no matter how many years, scores, and time we have on the earth, it just don't seem like it's enough. As people are leaving the physical body, are we really giving thanks for the people that's in our life? Are we really stopping and giving gratitude for the people? Are we really being present with those we love? Are we really for what's in our heart? You see, I stand right here today. Well, I come before you right here today, not standing. But I come here today with a very grateful heart. You see, because the woman who started the love journey is not the same woman that I am today. You see, even my perspective or how I see myself in speak to myself is totally different. See, who I am today, so different. And so I want to talk about how are we speaking to ourselves. Let's hear what T.D. Jakes got to say. How to speak to your situation. This is T.D. Jakes.
How could you have such a great destiny and be in such a horrific situation? I'm talking about Moses. I want you to understand that the predicament that you are in right now does not define your destiny. They don't believe nothing. Let me try y'all over here. The predicament that you are in right now does not define your destiny. They're doing a little bit better. I'm going to try this session over here. The predicament that you are in right now does not define your destiny. You ought to look at every negative situation in your house and say, you're a liar. I don't believe you. I hate to tell you this. You might not want me to be a pastor here anymore, but I talk to things. When nobody's looking, I talk to things. When I'm backed in a corner, I talk to things that have no ears. I talk to objects that cannot respond. And Michael, one day I walked in my house, the one with the lights off and the gas off, the one that they repossessed the car from. I walked in the house and I looked at the house and I said, house, you a liar. You lied on me. I'm better than this. I knew that me and the house was in a disagreement. And one of us had to be a liar, and I decided it wasn't me. So I told the house which one of us was lying. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You ought to lay hands on that tumor and call it a liar. You're a liar. You're a liar in the name of Jesus. Whose report do you believe? I will believe the report of the Lord. Every voice that said you'll never be nothing, you gotta call it out. You're a liar. Every time something whispers in your ear and says you can't make it through this, you can't take this, you're gonna have a nervous breakdown, you're gonna lose your mind, you're gonna die like your mama did, you're gonna get sick like your daddy did, you gotta talk back to those voices and say, hey! Touch your neighbor and tell them, I'm calling out liars this morning. Sickness is a liar. Failure is a liar. Depression is a liar. Suicide is a liar. Despair is a liar. Spirits of heaviness, you're a liar. Disease, you're a liar. Can't learn, you're a liar. Can't read, you're a liar. Can't make it, you're a liar. Can't take it, you ought to call out every liar. The Bible said, let God be true and every man a liar. Young lady with a very strong spirit in my church, that she was my intercessor. On the surface, that sounds nice. But she said, I'm his intercessor. And if I don't pray for him, he can't preach. Well, I was a young pastor. I didn't have much suave or anything like that. But through a series of events, I disfellowshipped her. And she said, you'll never be able to preach without me. And I said, 25 years later, I'm still standing here declaring the infallible word of God. You didn't make me. You can't break me. You didn't stop me. You can't finish me. Greater is he that is in me than... Oh. but in her absence, she thought she would shut me down. How many people have walked out of your life and thought that their absence would shut you down? Jump up and holler, "You're a liar!" It sounds like somebody else in here has had some lying voices whispering in your ear, telling you what you can't do and what you can't be and what you can't have. And if you don't do it with me, it can't be done. The devil is a lie. If I would have believed it, if I would have received it, see, believing is the door of entry. If I would believe it, then I would receive it. And it would have brought forth fruit in my life. Sometimes the only kind of abortion that a Christian needs to have is to abort every lying seed that has attached itself to the womb of your spirit, trying to bring forth fruit of damnation in your life. You need to abort every voice that said, "You can't do it, you can't have it, you can't be it, you'll never get up, you'll never survive." The devil is a lie. Abort that thing. Push it out.
Ooh. That was powerful. That was powerful. That was so powerful that I want you to really think about how many people I told you you weren't going to make it. That's not going to work. But more importantly, how many of your own thoughts? So I wanted to talk to you today about how to overcome the "what's wrong with me" thoughts. You see, as we stumble and learn again, resolve to talk to yourself as if you were your best friend. So know what a blank idiot when your BFF smashes an egg on the floor. It's okay. Be cool. Like the fun. That's a quote from Tim Ferriss. You see, we've all done it at some point or another. We've asked ourselves, "What's wrong with me? Oof. What's wrong with me?" It could have been after a breakup or a failed attempt or a family dinner, or maybe after you got on the scale and it went in the wrong direction. You see, I know I've asked that question far too much and too many times. It can seem like there's no way out. We feel stuck. We feel dead. We feel like it will never change. But my Love Journey family, I come to tell you today that it can and it does. You see, I've seen it time and time again. When you're feeling stuck there or like life is never going to change and you find yourself asking the question, "What is wrong with me?" time and time again, I can't wait for you to know you are more than enough right now. There's nothing wrong with you. I can't wait till you own the idea that I am more than enough. Yep. You see, what's so cool is that when you finally understand why you're asking this question, your life can change. And what I found is that there's a darn good reason why we start asking this question. See, once you understand why, you begin the work of taking your power back. You might feel stuck, but remember, everything happens in perfect time, and now is your time to break free. Breaking free from the negative thought patterns that created more space in your life, stuff that you didn't desire. You see, when you break free from this negative thought pattern, it will create more space in your life for the love, the joy, the passion, that big purpose that you know you're meant to be living. Let today be the day you break free from holding yourself back. Let today be the day that you break free Let today be the day that you claim your power. You see, T.D. Jakes says we got to learn how to speak to our situation. We got to learn how to speak to the mountain family. We got to step in our power. You see, together we can grow into who we were meant to be. But we got to find the courage and take the courage and take action and make it real. I know you asked yourself too many times, what's wrong with you? Maybe you tried over and over and over and over and over again and you just produced the same results. There might not be much progress. It may not even seem like there's any transformation. You find yourself in that same rut over and again. It could be in a relationship. It might be business. It doesn't really matter. But did you ever ask yourself that question? What's wrong with me? Today I want to really talk to you about breaking free from asking that question and really how to get past it, because asking that question really adds no value to our life. It does not create momentum or move you forward. So today we're going to talk about how to get past that question, what's wrong with me thoughts. So the thing that you have to understand is that if you want to look in the direction that your life is heading in, look at the questions you're asking about your life. You see, because questions are like a vector of the direction that you're going to go in. So what does that mean, right? It means every question you ask about life, about what's going on in your life, about what's wrong with me, when is something going to go wrong, why does it always happen to me, whatever the question might be, every question you ask has a preposition to it, which means there's a preposition to the question. So if you ask them the question, what's wrong with me, what's the preposition? That's right, something's wrong. The brain is like a computer. So if you ask the question, what's wrong with me, your brain is going to go looking for the answer. And it's not going to find a very healthy, productive answer. Let me say it again. And it's not going to find a very healthy, productive answer. Whether it's true or not, seek and ye shall find. When you go looking for something, the brain will find it. So we really got to figure out what questions are you asking about life that's holding you back. I'm sure as I'm talking right now, you can think of lots of them, but let's stick with just this one because many people ask this, what's wrong with me? Now, one of the things I found is that on top of that story that we tell about life, let me say that again. Now, one of the things I found is that on top of the story that we tell about life or the questions that we ask about life, what produces the story or the questions that we ask about life is an emotion that we are feeling below the question or below the story. So usually, if you're asking a question like, what's wrong with me? You're feeling frustrated. You're feeling beat up. You're feeling let down. You're feeling guilty. You're feeling shame. You're feeling not so good, right? So if you want to get past the question, you got to start to feel the feelings below the question. So if you ever ask yourself the question, think about and try to feel and tap into what's the emotion really below it. I remember when I first learned about the emotional process. And I remember asking myself plenty of times, what's wrong with me? But do you see what that question really evokes? It evokes an emotion that says, I'm powerless. So when you really think about what's wrong with me, what's the emotion? For me, it was always that I wasn't good enough. That was the root of all the disempowering questions. All my disempowering questions came from the fact that I never felt good enough. I wasn't this enough. I wasn't bad enough. And it all came from that part of me. So when you ask these types of questions and you look for the emotion below it, is it powerlessness? Is it guilt? Is it shame? What's the emotion below the question? Because once you can tap into that emotional body and really out that emotion, it's very easy to start to change your story about your life. Because until you feel the feelings, it's very difficult to change your story. Once you feel the feelings and be honest about it, it's a game changer. Because if I'm honest, if you ask me that question as your coach, what's wrong with me? And as a coach, there's not much I can do with that question. But if you told me, well, you know what, I'm not really asking what's wrong with me. I'm just really feeling disappointment. Well, I can deal with that and work with that. And as a coach, and I can coach you through the truth of how you feel, which might be disappointed, powerless, sad, or guilty, or shameful. I can work with the story or the question that's not really truly accurate, because there really is nothing wrong with you. You see, really, there's nothing about you that's broken. And you do not need to be fixed. All you and I got to do is start changing the question. You see, it's the questions that we ask. It's the feelings to change the direction of life. All we got to do is start changing questions and feelings to change the direction of our life. So once we start to deal with the emotion of feeling whatever it is, powerless, frustrated, it's like, well, why? Why do I feel frustrated? Well, Janine, I feel like I've tried everything. I tried to date this person. I tried to start a new business, and I tried to release weight, and I tried, and the truth is you haven't tried everything. You probably tried one or two or three things over and over and over again until you got the point of exhaustion. But the truth is this, fam. So what you want to do is you want to start taking a new path. And one of the best pieces of advice I can give you, no matter what you want to create in life, it doesn't matter what it is. Someone else has already gone out and laid a path of success. And remember, Tony Robbins says, Booker T. Washington said, many people say, success leaves clues. Tony says, success leaves clues. Success, Booker T. Washington says, success leaves footprint. So you want to start to look at the footprint of the people who've already been successful doing what you want to do. Because when you start to do that, all of a sudden it's like, well, that's their strategy. What's their strategy? What's their pattern? What's their behavior? What questions are they asking about life? I can tell you that the question, what's wrong with me, will not produce momentum. Disempowering questions does not produce the momentum. Now, here's an empowering question. What are my emotions teaching me right now? What can I learn from this experience? How can I grow from this experience? What is it that the divine wants to express through me in this right now moment? You see, simply changing the question about the emotion that you are feeling is a game changer. So when you find yourself thinking, what's wrong with me, or when you find yourself in disempowering questions, when you find yourself thinking, why is this happening to me again, get real about how you're feeling. You know what? The truth is, I'm just simply of strength and true fear? Can I learn from this emotion? I hear people say that you can even work through and break through confusion. They say sometimes confusion comes right through the breakthrough. And I want to tell you that the most powerful thing we can do on the planet is get still. In the midst of the confusion, in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of all that feels disempowering, the best and the most powerful thing we can do is get into our powerful, and that's in the stillness. You see, I believe our superwoman and superman pose is in the stillness pose. In a pose that feels connected to the very source that created us. You see, when I shift my mind from what's going on in the seemingly appearances of the world and shift my mind into a place of knowing that I am all that God is, there's something powerful that begins to happen in every cell of my body. See, then fear begins to release from my body. See, then doubt begins to release from my body because I know I can do all things in Christ that strengthens me. I can do all things in Christ that strengthens me. I can do all things in Christ that strengthens me. I can do all things in Christ that strengthens me. I can do all things in Christ. So we got to start asking ourselves better questions. Could you ask the question, well, how can I grow from this? How is this leading me closer to the purpose, to the gift that I came to the planet to be? How can I unfold the goals of my soul in this very moment, in this lesson? How can this lesson be a blessing for my life right now, God? And the thing is, if you start to ask the questions, the new empowering questions over and over again, you will train your brain, come on family, you will train your brain to find the answer. You will train your brain, just like it was trained to find the answer with what's wrong with me. The question is, you will find the answer. So here's the thing, though. When you ask more empowering questions, it's going to really force you to come outside your comfort zone. It's going to force you to take risks. And so as a result, the answers to your empowering questions can also be scary. See, it's easy to ask the question, what's wrong with me, God? Because you'll find all the things that are wrong with you. My girlfriend cried calling me the other day. Her and her going through some processes, right? And she called me. She said, well, what's wrong with me? Janine, I want you to be honest with me. Good morning. And she didn't want to hear me tell her that was the wrong question. She was so adamant about me telling her what's wrong with her. She said, Janine, tell me because I know you will be honest with me. I want you to tell me. I said, well, how about let's look at what is it that you can learn in this experience right now? How about let's look at how this experience can help you grow into the goals of your soul? And she didn't want to hear that. Because she felt that there was something she needed to do different because something was wrong with her. And because I wouldn't answer that question, she felt like I was doing her a disservice. So she called somebody else to help her figure out what's wrong with her. So I told her, if you want to figure out what's wrong with you, then you go ahead and call somebody else. But if you want to do what I'm suggesting, which is figure out how you can grow from this experience and how you can use this as a stepping stone into a better space for you and your fiancé, then I'm the person for it. But if you want to continue to find the answer to what's wrong with you, then I'm not the person for it. See, that's an easy question to answer for all of us. And we don't even really need to ask nobody what's wrong with us in the scheme of things. You know why? Because we always looking at, most of our default language is what's wrong with us. I don't care how many times I give this assignment in a classroom instruction. I go around in my breakthrough so that we can, you know, get to know each other, and I ask somebody to give us two or three things they like about themselves. It takes forever to get through that because people don't know what they like about themselves. They don't know what's good about them. But if you ask them what's wrong with them, I bet I can get, I've never asked, but I know we probably can get through that in about 20 seconds. You know why? Because we always look in the mirror, most of us, and we always critical. Well, today, I want your default language to be complimentary and not too critical. I want you to learn to stop asking what's wrong with you, because your brain is going to answer that question. Just because you're in a position in your life doesn't mean that something is wrong with you. Did you hear T.D. Jakes say that your situation or your predicament does not define your future or who you are? Yeah, it's easy to ask, what's wrong with me? Because you'll find all these things wrong with you. Well, look, something's wrong with me, therefore I don't have to move forward. I don't have to try. I don't have to be bundled. I don't have to put my butt on the line again. But if the question, how can I grow from this? How can I learn from this? What's the grace in this? Then all of a sudden you're starting to push yourself outside your comfort zone, which is where the growth is. And you want to surround yourself with people who are doing the same, not people who hold you back. So today, family, my message is stop asking those disempowering questions. Those disempowering questions. I want you to stop today, and I want you to look at and analyze the questions you've been asking about life that's been holding you back, and see if you can identify them, and then come up with two new questions you can ask yourself about your life. So instead of what's wrong with me or when is something going to go wrong, what is God's grace in this? What is life's benefit to me? What is the divine expressing through me? What is the lesson? How is this bringing me closer to my purpose? How is this bringing me closer to the outcome of my desire? If you ask a better question, you will find a better answer, and it will require more of you because the answer will require you to grow. I'm going to leave you with this thought. If you ask a better question, you will find a better answer, and it will require more of you because the answer will require you to grow. What questions are you asking yourself today to answer what's wrong with me? And in reality, half the things that you're saying is wrong with you is not wrong with you anyway. I still think about my girlfriend who got absolutely upset because I would not answer the question What's wrong with her? Janine, what do you think I could do better? I know you know. I know you know. I do know. I know that what you can do better is ask a better question. But for some reason, she didn't want to hear it. Because she was adamant about the fact that her and her fiancé was in this space because something could be wrong with her. Ladies, and I'm not saying to the gentlemen that are on this phone, to the men that are on this phone, I'm not saying you don't do this too. But being a woman, I'm speaking to my women, my ladies, my loves, and my the reason that I get up for this season. And I know that we have a real big issue of not feeling enough. I come to tell you today, you're more than enough. And so stop asking those disempowering questions. And if you feel present enough and decide to do this exercise, I would love to know what your two new questions will be instead of what's wrong with me. What would be your question? What would be the question that you would use that would be more empowering, that would require you to grow, that would require you to step out your comfort zone today? What question will you ask yourself? Because the better the question, the better the answer, and it will require you to step out your comfort zone. It will require more of you because the answer will require you to grow. Let's grow, fam. Let's evolve. Let's expand. That's my message. I'll take a few comments. If anybody want to comment, press 1 on Blog Talk and star 6 if you are on the teleconference line. Again, I want to remind you that I love you. And I tell you, I love you, I love you. Maybe you don't like the truth that I may give you from my heart, but I want you to know that I speak from my heart. I never mean to be malicious or anything. So when you call me asking me what's wrong with you, you're not going to get that answer from me. Because you are not broken. You don't need to be fixed. You're already perfect, whole, and complete. Good morning.
Good God morning. I am Rosa J, doing it God's way each and every day. I mean, that is a perfect question that everybody always asks. You know, in the studies of metaphysics and new thought, I have to remember this. There is no right and wrong. There's just an is. It just happens. And the question that I would pose to myself in situations that are not feeling good, what is my next step to amend this situation? What is it that I must do? So a lot of times we say, what's wrong with me? Because we feel that, like you said, we're not enough, that we don't know what we're doing. But the thing that I realize is that God has given us everything we need to create a perfect life. And sometimes when we ask the question, what's the next situation, we don't want to do it. We don't want to do it because it means that we have to do some work on us, not on others. It has nothing to do with the other person. This life is ours and ours to create. So, yeah, we have to change thinking that something is wrong or something is right. It's just the next best step that we must do to alleviate whatever we're feeling. Because the one thing that I always, thoughts and mind producing kind, and like I said, if you ask what's wrong, you're going to get a whole lot of answers. We are where we are, and we have to accept and really become aware of that. When we throw that pebble in that pond of wrongness, it's going to ripple into a whole lot of not-so-good feelings. So we have to ask the correct questions. What can I do to change this field, this environment? What's the next best step? Just wait and see. And when the door appears, walk through it, whether you're scared or not. I am Rosa J. And once again, you hit the nail right on the head for most people. So I'm complete. Make a list of all the good things that you are. All the things all right. that you love about yourself. And then work from there. All right, lady. Lady love. And love journey. Have a great, great day.
Thank you, Rosa. All right, Zakiya, you on.
Oh, boy. Good morning, good morning, Janine. Lady love, I'm so grateful that I am part of the reason, one of the reasons why you get up every morning to do this call. And thank you, Rosa J, for your response to that. So I was going to say, I said, oh my God, was Janine just in my room with me the other night? Were you there when I was asking myself that question? What's wrong with me? Why can't I do this? I've tried it so many times and I just don't seem to get it. Why can't I be like other people? Look, look, look. And so I stayed there for quite a time, and then I just decided to do what you just said, and that was to get still. I said, okay, Zakiya, you keep asking this question. You've asked yourself this question many times. Now, what's the answer? So what I got when I got still was Spirit saying, you don't follow your heart. Follow your heart. Follow your heart. And what I realized that the question that I was asking, and it was based around my business, is that I don't follow my heart. So when I'm not doing and participating in something that makes me happy, brings me joy, things that I know that I'm competent in, when I go outside of my realm, and that maybe it's a comfort zone, I don't know. But I know every time I've stepped over into this place in my life, you know, trying to build a business and doing it the way that everybody else says to do it, and I know, because Spirit has spoken to me so many times, that's really not your path. That's not your path. But God, look at everybody else. Look how they're doing it. But, Zakiya, that's not your path, baby. Stick with what you know that you love to do. So I felt in that moment that I was being guided back to, and so many times you and I have had this conversation, and even on Saturday, and I wanted to say that the healing festival at the church with Reverend Judith and Reverend Najin, One God, One Thought, was excellent and perfect. I even got confirmation of my conversation with myself with Harvey, Harvey Bailey, you know Harvey, he did a chakra balancing on me, and he said, your throat chakra, you're not doing what you want to do. Why aren't you doing that? That's where your focus needs to be. And so I just felt like that question has been answered. I didn't specifically go in to say, okay, help me think a different thought. But that's the way Spirit works. Spirit will help us, redirect us, guide us back to you if we just be still and listen. So I just think this conversation this morning was just so another confirmation, so empowering. And I was going to say to your friend that called you asking that question, I mean, not wanting to hear that, sometimes we get to a place where we're so stuck in that place of I'm not enough, so stuck in that place of I just can't do it like everybody else can do it, that we really can't hear how powerful, how amazing, and how purposeful we are. That's not the word I'm looking for, but you know, if you had said that to me, I would have embraced it, because I just know that you ain't saying that. It's God saying it. It's not Janine saying, Zakiya, let's look at how we can ask another question. That's God saying that. So I just want to hopefully encourage others. Yeah, I have spoken, and it's not my first time, but when I sat with Spirit and I allowed Spirit to speak to me and hear Spirit, and I got the answers that I was seeking. And I am absolutely enough. And when I am doing what I love to do and I'm passionate about, I am successful. And when I try to do it other people's ways, that's when I don't feel that I'm good enough. So thank you, love, for being the amazing, awesome representative of divine love that you are, and guiding all of us back to the truth of who we are. So love you. Have a beautiful day, and talk to you soon. Peace. Peace and blessings, family.
Peace. Have a great day. Thank you, Zakiya. Thank you, Rosa. All right, any more questions, comments? All right, we got a lady in the chat room. She's on a computer listening, and she says, she's in an abusive relationship. And I often ask myself that question, because he's physically, emotionally, and financially abusive, and I don't know how to get out. I don't even know the right question to ask. So how do I find the right question to ask myself? Because I simply don't feel good enough, and I don't feel like there's a way out. I have two little children. I don't know what to do. I've called a hotline, and there's no way to go. I have no way out. That's interesting. Well, I'm going to pray and ask God to give me the right answer for you right now. You see, I want to make sure that I'm sensitive to the words that I say to you, because I've not been in that situation. And so I don't want to sound like I'm not compassionate, but there's always a way out. It's just that this is not a surprise to God in your life right now. And we're always equipped with a solution. But sometimes the processes and the pain and fear and stepping out of into our unknown spaces can keep us blinded to the truth that there's always a way. Now, I do know that physical abusive relationships can be very difficult sometimes to release because of the fears and all the things that come with what could happen. And I'm not sure if there's a fear that he might kill you, or a fear of what causes you to feel like there's no way out. And because I don't know what state or city you live in, I know if you're in Chicago, Illinois, there are different resources we can find. And I do know, because I have been on the phone with other people in other states calling the domestic hotline, and they didn't respond or couldn't find a place to stay, or there was no bed. So I say first thing to do is to just get still. And because I was reading this process, I say create a plan. Your most valuable things, and take them to your best friend's home or to your parents' home and just start taking little bean things that's unnoticeable out and create a plan and create a plan that can work for you to get out of this situation. But you cannot continue to live in an abusive relationship, financially, emotional, or physical. And the worst thing we can do is stay there and allow our children to grow up in that environment. Because what happens is it becomes the way they live. They become abusive, or they become abusers, or the way they live becomes from the wound of the abuse they saw you go through. So the first thing you got to do is get still and create a plan. Create a solution and do it as immediately as possible. And maybe it may not even be about the question right now, because maybe you don't have time for the question. But what you do have time is to create a solution right now, which is to remove you and your children out of a situation that's abusive to you and to them. Because anytime you're being abused, they're being abused. You know, every time you hurt, they hurt. So I would suggest that you get still, ask direction, and ask for the infinite to lead you and guide you and create a creative plan and follow your plan. That's what I got from my inner spirit. Create a plan and get yourself into safety. And the best thing you can do if you don't have a question is just to see yourself in a safe environment and trust that the universe will take care of you. You see, a lot of times we don't leave situations because we feel tied because of money, or because we don't know how we're going to eat, or we don't know how we're going to do the things. If you're in a one-room space and God provides you food every day and clothes and shelter, do what you got to do until you can get where you got to get next, one step at a time. It's just one step at a time. Remember, life's a cinch, inch by inch. Sometimes we think we got to eat the whole elephant. It's inch by inch, life's a cinch. Just take it one thing at a time. And if you got to leave everything behind, remember, clothes don't make you, cars don't make you, things don't make you. You know what makes you? You make you. And everything that you left behind, God will give you triple for your trouble if you let go. If you let go. Many times people don't want to leave. Well, I bought these things, and I got this new furniture, and I just bought this new, whatever you can take, take. But whatever you can't, don't worry about it. God will give you triple for your troubles. Trust and believe. And so that's my message for that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I want to say thank you for tuning in to The Love Journey this day, reminding you that your life is a gift from God. What you do with your life is a gift back to God. Remember to choose love. Love is the only choice. And remember, family, don't just dream. Live your God-sized dream. And remember, the power is in you. Don't be afraid to let go. Because we got to let go the first step to get to the second step. And Martin Luther King said this best. Sometimes you won't see the whole staircase, but you just got to take it one step at a time. Sometimes you won't see the next step until you take the first step. And I promise you, if you take the first step, God will take the rest. It's a required action. All right, family. I love you, and I want you to have an amazing day. And I'm going to play Keep Your Head to the Sky. And I think I'm going to play it by Earth, Wind, and Fire this time. And I want to remind you to keep your head to the sky. We'll be right back.
I say.